and in two more days, the Israelis would have taken Cairo. And the Israelis thought that was a bigger bite than they could chew. They couldn't digest it. They couldn't run it if they got it. And that is why that when the American Secretary of State, I can't remember names. You know his name better than I do. Any one of you could remind me of it. Anyway, he was able to bring about peace. And I was over there with my airplane at the same time that he was. And so the Israelis were willing to make peace. But somehow the Egyptians had always felt that they were inferior. And the very fact that they were ahead in the war until the last few days, they feel, lifted them up. Now they're equal with the Israelis. They could lift up their heads. And that's what the celebration was all about that ended in the assassination of Anwar Sadat. Now, I think Anwar Sadat was wholly sincere in his effort for peace. And I think that President Mubarak is, but I doubt if he's strong enough to hold out. Brethren, I have met the great and the near great of this world. I have probably met more heads and rulers of government in their own offices, or kings on their thrones, so to speak, than any other man in the world. And let me tell you, I find they're just as human as you and I. And many of them are not especially great men. Some are greater than others. Franz Josef Strauss is a very strong man. He's a determined man. I'm not saying a righteous man. I won't judge him that way. But he's a politician. And he's a knowledgeable and a clever politician. And he does know the world condition. And I got a lot from him. And Mr. Fay and I have been discussing it with Mr. Hogberg. And he will be writing articles, and I will. It will come out in the Good News and the Plain Truth. But we are getting our fingers on the pulse of the world and the world situation. Believe me, more than any other source in the world. The sources of CBS and NBC networks, or ABC, the newspaper people of the main great newspapers, or of the big news services like the Associated Press, International News Service, Reuters, they do not know the world situation, even as well as we do in many cases. And I wonder if you realize what God has done for us in His church, that we may know. Now, I did not get to see King Hussein on this trip to Jordan. I wanted to see him very much. But I had a notice just a few days before we left that he would have to be out of the country, and he would not be in Jordan, and so could not be there to see me. I could come and I would see others, but the king himself wanted to see me and asked me to postpone it until he could be there the latter part of January or early February. So that's what I have done. Now, meantime, King Hussein was in, in one of the capitals of North Africa, where the Arabs were having a meeting on this whole thing after the assassination of Sadat, and a proposal that has been put out by the Saudi Arabians. Well, it ended with them in a fight one against another, and the Arab nations can't get together. They're all divided. Now, I see by this morning's newspaper that our Secretary of State has come up with something I didn't have time this morning to read it. I have to have a magnifying glass to read it anyway, and I didn't have time. I haven't really digested that yet myself. That's fresh news just today. You can read it if you care to. But God is keeping us informed, and God is taking care of this church and is going to protect us. And my seeing the King of Jordan may have something to do with that. It may have something to do with the lives of every one of you. You better be praying about it if you value your own life. Because let me tell you that God is masterminding this whole thing, not the Russians. They think they are. But God is the one great power behind all of the thrones. Well, we learned a lot of things, and some of the things we learned will come out in the things that we'll be writing in the articles on world conditions. I just wanted you to know that God is keeping us, keeping His own people informed with everything that we need to know. Now, this is God's Sabbath. It's not time to discuss world news especially, and I want to get back to a subject I was talking to you about the last time I was here, about 3 weeks ago. And I'd like to turn to a couple of scriptures first in the 8th chapter of Romans. Let's get to something a little more spiritual. In Romans, the 8th chapter, in verse 7, speaks of the carnal mind, the natural mind. That is not, doesn't say natural, especially evil mind. It's just the mind everybody's born with. But the natural or carnal mind is enmity against God. That is hostile against God. Do you realize that the natural mind of men are hostile against God? I find when people that don't know God, or even if they think they're in some church, and they really don't know God, though they think they do. If I begin to mention any of the truth of God, they want to change the subject in a hurry. It's very unpleasant to them. Because they don't realize it, but their minds are hostile against God. And they're uncomfortable when you talk about God to them. It's just like they say, well, God, what are you trying to stick your nose in my business for? What are you trying to get from me, God? I want you out of my life. They think God is trying to harm them. They're afraid of religion. They don't understand. Hostile against God. For it is not subject to the law of God, neither indeed. Take the Protestant religion. There is one basic truth. It isn't truth, one basic belief that they have, and that is the law is done away. They believe you repent. You don't even, mostly they don't even put repent into it. But if they do, you're just sorry for what you've done. You accept Christ. Well, that's all, and you go right on. Of course you go on still doing it again. To them, repent doesn't mean turn around and go the other way. It doesn't mean give up the way you've been living. They don't understand it at all. But if you accept Christ, you're going to go to heaven when you die. Otherwise, because of Adam's sin, you're consigned to go to hell. And most of them think that. How many of us have believed that kind of rot, brethren? Too many of us have let that rub off on us, and we don't understand the real truth. So then, they that are in the flesh cannot please God, because that's a natural fleshly mind, the way you're born. But ye are not in the flesh, but in the Spirit, if so be that the Spirit of God dwell in you. Brethren, does the Spirit of God dwell in you, and how do you know? I want to tell you that many of you don't know whether the Spirit of God is dwelling in you or not. Listen to me, brethren. I want to wake you up. A lot of you don't know that. And your whole eternity is dependent upon it. You're not in the flesh, but in the Spirit. Now, Spirit with a capital S, meaning the Holy Spirit. If so be that the Spirit of God dwell in you. Is the Spirit of God dwelling in you? How do you know? What does the Spirit of God dwelling in you do? What change does that make, if any, in your life? Has any change been made in your life? Now, if any man have not the Spirit of Christ, he is none of his. Maybe you have said, I accept Christ. You have been baptized in water. You've been received into the church, and you say you're a church member. You're a member even of God's church. But if the Spirit of Christ, the Holy Spirit of God, is not dwelling in you, and unless you are being led by it and you're following it, you are not a Christian. You're just a member of an organization. How do you know? Do you know what is the Spirit of God? Did any change ever take place when the Spirit of God came into you? Now turn on to another verse. Verse 14, as many as are led by the Spirit of God, they are the sons of God. Are you being led by the Spirit of God? Now, is that just something to talk about, or is it something real that really has happened and changed your life? Is your life different? Is it led in a way by the Spirit of God now that it was not before your conversion? How do you know what is the Holy Spirit? How do you know whether you have received the Holy Spirit? You know that there are perhaps a few million people in the United States, I know it's many hundreds of thousands, who believe there's only one way you know whether you've received the Holy Spirit, and that's if you speak in tongues. Well, that's what they think is the evidence of receiving the Holy Spirit. Now, we're going to have to go into a lot of these things, a lot more than we have in the past, brethren, because I think we don't fully understand. And I want to get this church on the track. I want you to be able to rise and meet Christ in the air and to be changed from mortal to immortal, from human to divine, so that you are an immortal divine being when you meet Christ up in the air. And I am afraid that many of you are not going to make it. Listen to me. I'm talking to you, brethren. What good does it do me to pour out my heart to you if you don't listen, if you don't believe? Jesus came and preached to thousands, and only 120 out of those many thousands believed what he said. He fed the 5,000, they listened to him, but he said they didn't come to listen to what I said, they just came to get their bellies filled. I go and I speak to a group of our people in some city in the United States, and maybe most of the members of 8 or 10 churches in that area will come, and there will be a much larger group than their normal church services. And they go back and say, oh, I got to see Mr. Armstrong. I got to see Mr. Armstrong, God the Apostle. Isn't that great? Yeah, well, what did he talk about? Oh, what did he talk about? Well, I don't know what he talked about, but I got to see him. Isn't that wonderful? Now, how much did that profit them? Take a look at me. I'm nothing. I'm a nobody. Except as the Word of God is in me and as Christ is using me, I'm nothing. You're nothing. But we can all become something through Christ Jesus. But only if we have the Spirit of God. Otherwise, we are not Christ. And brethren, I have been awakened lately. I'm afraid that many of our people in the church come and sit here. and listen. They don't really comprehend the message, and they are not Christ at all. They're not really Christians. They're not going to meet Christ in the air, and he's coming in this generation. I want you to take this seriously, brethren. I don't know how I can, all I can do is shout at you or something and hope that some of you will get the message. You need a shaking up. You just need to have someone shake you and shake something into you. I think that a lot of you are like you read back here in Ezekiel. Oh, no, I forget that chapter. Where, anyway, where it says the people come, and they come as God's people. Yeah, they're members of the church. And it's a prophecy for our day. And they listen to God's minister, and they sit there as God's people, and they hear your words. And lo, you are unto them as one that is playing on a wonderful, beautiful instrument, or singing a beautiful song, although they don't hear the words or get anything out of it. They hear your words, but they don't understand them. They don't do anything about it. It makes no difference in their lives. They come as God's people. They hear your words, but they do them not. Doesn't mean anything to them. If I can't shake you up, if I can't send you home with a different realization than you had when you came here, I've wasted my time. And my love for you. And I don't get paid any extra for it. I don't do it to please me or for profit. But I do want you to realize, as many as are led by the Holy Spirit, they are the sons of God. Now, what does it mean being led by the Holy Spirit? Let me tell you, first of all, the Holy Spirit is going to grab hold of you and pull you along. It won't do that at all. The Holy Spirit won't get behind you and shove and push you against your own will. It isn't going to do anything like that. I tried to preach a sermon on it about 3 weeks ago, I believe it was, whenever I spoke here last. Let me see if I can... Where do we... See a light bulb in there? But the Spirit of God is not in you. The Spirit of God comes. Does it make any difference? It changed the light bulb, didn't it? You know, the Spirit of God in you will change you as much as that electric current coming in there changed that light bulb. Has anything taken hold of you and changed you that much? Or are you still just the same as you were, but you've just joined an organization? You just sit here as God's people. Brethren, you're just sitting here in the seat is not going to get you into the kingdom of God. It just is not. Now, I'd like to understand this just a little more. I've taken so much time already, I don't have much time left. I want to go back to a little bit in the 7th chapter. Paul spoke about the law of God, and he said in verse 14, the 7th chapter, "For we know that the law is spiritual, but I am carnal, sold unto death." Brethren, you and I were all born carnal. Paul said, "I am carnal." That didn't mean he was just as naturally trying to be as evil as he can. Didn't mean that at all. "For that which I do, I allow not. For that I would, that do I not. But that I hate, that I do. If then I do that which I would not, I consent under the law that it, the law, is good. But he said, I'm not good. The law is. Now then, it is no more I that do it, but sin that dwelleth in me. For I know that in me, that is in my flesh, dwelleth no good thing. You know that in you dwells no good thing? The way you were born, you were just so much dirt out of the ground, that's all. And that's where you're going to go back. And it's appointed to men once to die. And for most all people, after that, the judgment. But the church is an exception. And judgment is already on the church. We're the first fruits. That's what the Feast of Pentecost means every year. For to will is present with me, and make a decision and a determination and the to will. But how to perform that which is good, I find not. For the good that I would do, do I not, and the evil which I would not, that I do. Now we're all going to have to wrestle with that problem. Now, if I do that I would not, it is no more I that do it, but sin that dwelleth in me. I find then a law, that when I would do good, evil is present with me. For I delight in the law of God after the inward man. Paul believed in the law of God. He knew it was the way to live, the right way to live, the way he wanted to live. But he found he wasn't living that way. Do you have that same trouble? Well, I've had it all my life, and I've had to struggle with it. But I find another law in my members. And brethren, that same law has been working in your members unless you're doing something about it. It was in Paul. It's been in me. Warring against the law of my mind. The law of his mind is the same as the law of God, which he's accepted into his mind. That's the law of outflowing love, first to God and then to neighbor. Warring against the law of my mind and bringing me into captivity to the law of sin which is in my members. It's there because Satan has put it there beginning from the time we were a day old. O wretched man that I am, who shall deliver me from the body of this death? I thank God through Jesus Christ our Lord. God only can deliver us. And it's through the power of his Holy Spirit. Now first we have to come to realize we have been wrong. And realize that of ourselves we're helpless to do right. And we've got to have the help of God. And if we do that and we repent of what is wrong and of the way we've lived in the past, that means we turn from it and we don't want to do it anymore. That doesn't mean we go on living that way and say, well, I'm sorry, now it's all right. You know, most people in the Protestant churches think if they just say, well, I'm sorry, I repent. But then they go right on doing it. They haven't repented. But if they accept Christ, they think that's going to get them into heaven. Now, we know you don't go to heaven. We know you get into the kingdom of God, and that'll be right here on the earth. But it is not a change of place. It's a change of your state and condition. You won't be flesh and blood any longer. The only life you have now is the blood circulating in your veins and the breath of air that goes in and out of your lungs. That's what keeps you alive. There's a spirit in you, but that spirit in you is not what keeps you alive. That does not give you life. That has nothing to do with your being alive or dead. It just functions in your mind as long as you're alive. And your life comes from the food you eat and the water you drink, feeding a body and keeping the heart pumping blood and your lungs breathing air in and out. That's all that keeps you alive. That's where your life is. That's the only life we have, brethren. We don't have immortal souls. The soul is in it that shall die. So now you come to the first chapter of, or the eighth chapter of Romans. There is therefore now no condemnation to them that are in Christ Jesus, who walk not after the flesh, but after the Spirit. And the Spirit of God, the law of God, is the way of God, and the Spirit of God opens your mind to understand that way. If Adam had taken of the tree of life, that would have opened his mind to reveal spiritual knowledge. And Adam never had spiritual knowledge. Adam said, no, I'll just acquire my own knowledge. God made Adam so he could acquire knowledge of the physical, the material. And you know that in all of the colleges and universities of this world, all they know and all they teach, you listen now, get this, understand this, all they teach is about physical, material things. Spiritual principles they know nothing about. The things of God they know nothing about. They don't know what they are. They don't know what a human being is made of. They don't know why a human being is on earth. They don't know what God's purpose is and where we're going. They don't know the way. They don't know the cause of all of the world's troubles. They haven't solved our troubles. They don't know what causes trouble. They don't know the way to peace. They don't know the way to an immortal, eternal life. And God won't give you eternal life, and it is a gift of God, and He won't give it to you until you are willing to start to live by the law of God and to live God's way. Now, God will put His Holy Spirit in you if and when you really repent and accept Christ. But listen, God only gives you a little tiny bit of His Holy Spirit to start. The Bible talks about pouring out the Spirit of water. You pour out water. I've got some water here. I can pour it out. It's like air that you can blow, and it moves, and the Spirit of God moves. But the Spirit of God will come into you, and you only have a little of it to start with, and if you don't grow in the Spirit and in the knowledge of God, what little you had is going to leave you. Brethren, take the parable of the pounds and the parable of the talents. The one who was given one and did nothing with it, when Christ comes, He will take away the one you had if you haven't increased it. If you have not grown spiritually in spiritual knowledge and in the spiritual way of living so that you've actually lived a different way, you will lose out entirely and you will burn up in the final lake of fire. You will never be in the kingdom of God. God will only give immortal life to those who will live it in a way to be happy and in a way to make other people happy and in a way to walk with God. And two can't walk together except they be agreed. And God doesn't agree with the way you lived your life before you were converted, if and when you were converted, and supposing that you were. The Spirit of God coming into you impregnates you with divine life. The Spirit that is already in you does not give you any life. The Spirit that is in you only supplies the power of intellect to a physical brain, and that physical brain is kept alive and active only by the air you breathe and the pumping of your heart, and that has to be kept going by food and water out of the ground. You are of the ground and out of the ground. That's all you are, brethren. Understand it. Nobody else is teaching you that. No other church on earth will teach you that. That's why this is God's church. And it's quite different from any other church on this earth. Quite different. Now, when the Holy Spirit comes, that impregnates you with its immortal life. But listen, you are like an embryo